bright, sunshiny day.
We're going to continue our series 2020 Vision, and I want to give you the second part of a message we started last week on the power of unity. How many know there's power in unity, right? There's power in unity. And I want to give you the second part of this message we started last week. And we talked about last week that all great teams have a spirit of unity. I mean, all champions have a chemistry, a power of unity that comes with every great team. You'll see this team unity. Great teams unify and they come together and they have a team first mentality. It's a team first mentality. It's not me above the team. It's what is best for the team. How can I serve the team? How can I make the team better? What can I do to advance this team? That's what great champions are built off of. And let me say to you today that great churches walk in a spirit of unity. One thing that I know that all great churches I've experienced, there's a spirit of unity there. It's a unity around a kingdom first mentality. It's not my ministry is more important than your ministry. It's not that my position is more important than your position. It's all of us working together with a kingdom first mentality. If I need to clean, I will clean. The other day we had someone really blow up the bathroom in between services. And one of our staff members went right in, and they went right in. God bless them, man. They went right in. I was so proud to see. Why? Because it wasn't their job. It wasn't their responsibility, but they went right for it because it's what's best for the kingdom. We want to get that cleaned up before the next service gets in here. And some guest walks in, and that's their first impression, right? Turn your neighbors. That stinks. Anyway, let's talk about it. All right. Something about kingdom first mentality. What is best for the kingdom? All great teams have it. I believe all great churches have it. It's a mentality and of unity. And I believe God is really pushing us to continue to build that spirit of unity here at Destiny. You know, I like to hang around people who have my back. You know, growing up, I had some friends who I thought were friends, and they would run their mouth, and then when it was time to back it up, they were not there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Their mouth was writing checks they couldn't cash, and they expected me to cash it for them. But the thing about it was, they were nowhere around. You know, so I learned real fast, I want to hang around people that, man, come hell or high water, they're going to be with me. They're going to be with me through the good times. They're going to be with me through the bad times. They're going to be with there. And man, I told a friend the other day, we were talking as a pastor, and he was going through something, and something happened to one of his kids, and he was struggling with the emotional turmoil. He just really wanted to go take care of this problem with someone who was dealing with one of his kids. And I said, listen, as your pastor, I want to tell you, you gotta forgive, and you gotta show self-control. You can't go do that. But as your friend, if you go, call me and I'll go with you. I was only halfway kidding. But there's, you know, there was something about, I want to be with you and I want to fight with you. And I want to say fight. I want to fight with you when the devil attacks you. And I want to be with you. And I want to be with you fighting together and supporting each other. It's a spirit of unity. And we can all unify when we understand what our purpose is. And we have simply said here at Destiny, we're going to unify around what Jesus said was the greatest commands. He goes, I want you to learn to love God with everything you got, your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, everything you got. Learn to fall in love with the Lord and love him. And this every year of your life, learning to grow deeper and deeper in love with the Lord, discovering more about him. The Bible says there's something new every day I can discover about the Lord. It's something new every morning that I can discover about the Lord. And I want to encourage you. I want to push you. And together we come in, we unify around that purpose. And man, we are unified that we want to love the Lord. We want to fall in love with God. We want to learn to love God with all of our heart. And then we got to do what he said next, is learn to love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so He didn't say, you know, love those who are the same as you. He said, love everyone, right? And so we're learning to do that. So we want to unify around the purpose that when people come, we want to learn to love those that maybe somebody else wouldn't love. We want to love those who come in that we don't come in judging people, but we're loving them. And we want to love them into the kingdom of God. And we love them enough to preach the truth. And we're not going to ever sugarcoat the truth of the word of God. But we're going to love people where they're at. And we're going to let God change them, right? And we're going to love them and love them and love them and love God and teach them how to fall in love with the Lord. And so we can unify around that, and we unify around the purpose of this is that, man, we are called to work together. I love this story in Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, verses 27 and 33, we see where Moses has sent out the 12 spies. And as Moses sent out the 12 spies, he said, come back, give me a report. Here's the promised land. Come back and tell me what you think. And when they came back, this is the report they gave. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed, it's bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, they're like, man, there's all kinds of produce here. There's all kinds of milk and honey. He goes, here the fruit. Man, you got to see the fruit. And we learn later this fruit was just ginormous, big fruit. But the people living there, they're also, it's always a but, right? But the people living there, they're powerful. Their towns are large. They're fortified. We even saw giants. Can you imagine? We even saw giants living there. The descendants of Enoch, they're there. Look what it says. And then look who else. The Amalekites live there. And the Hittites live there. The Jebusites live there. The Amorites live there. The Canaanites live there. All these pesticides and termites, all these parasites, they're all living there. That's what he said. Look at all these people. They're living there. He goes, Caleb. I like Caleb. Don't you like Caleb? But Caleb, he's like, quiet down, people. Quiet down. He stood before Moses and said, hey, let's go at once. I like Caleb. Let's do it. Let's go for it. You know, Caleb's the guy that's going to come running out of the back, the little short guy, and just punch the biggest guy in the nose when they're mouthing off, you know. Let's just get after it right now. He goes, let's go after it right now. For once, we can take the land. And he goes, we can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him, they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. You know, at some point in your life, you're going to have to decide if you're going to be a Joshua and Caleb who gave a positive report and believe that when God calls you to do something, no matter how big the giant is, that if God be for you, who can be against you? And that when we're in the power and the spirit of unity, that anything is possible. Or you can go with the majority when the majority is always, almost always wrong and say, you know what? I don't know if we can do this. I don't know. That's a pretty big dream. That's a pretty big thing to conquer. That's a lot to imagine. Pastor, you think we can reach this whole city? Yes, I do. I believe with God's help, we can reach this whole community. We can reach this whole city with the love of God. I believe that, and it can spread around to even further communities. I believe God wants us to dream the big dreams for him. I believe we can have a worldwide impact. Look at this. God's agenda is just not an individual agenda. God's agenda is just not an individual agenda. It's a kingdom agenda. It's a team agenda. His agenda is just not personal. It's also corporate. And that what he wants to do in me is something he wants to do in all of us. There's something he's trying to get done. In that, he will shape me personally. He will grow me personally. But he's doing it because he's trying to do something in all of us. See, he wants to bless you because he wants to bless me. He wants to bless me because he wants to bless us. He wants to grow you because he wants to grow us. He wants to change you because he wants to change us. It's a kingdom mentality that God, you're trying to do something through all of us working together. Don't be so focused on me that you forget about the we. It's a kingdom first. Together, we can advance the kingdom of God. It's together the kingdom of God is advanced. Look at John 10, 16. Jesus says, I have other sheep. Can you believe that? There is other sheep other than what here at Destiny Church. I can't believe that. Can you? I know. It's hard to imagine. But yes, there's some other sheep that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be what? One flock and one shepherd. And so Jesus said, I am the straight shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And so what he was saying is this. He goes, even though we're sheepfold, there's other sheepfold out there. But there's one shepherd. We're all trying to follow the voice of the Lord. Listen, sometimes you don't always fit in every sheepfold. And it's important you find a place where you can fit. Find a place where they focus in. You say, yeah, man, I can thrive here. I can grow here. My marriage can heal here. My life can change here. And I want to jump in, and I want to be with people who are not self-centered, and they want to go out and reach people. They want to love on children around the world. They want to do things in the community to make a difference. But we got to remember, our competition is not the church around the corner. Our competition is not the church around the street, down the street. Our competition is our enemy, right? We're all focused on that. We're all focused on the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is this. I want to destroy the hold that Satan has on as many people's life as possible. I want to take as many people with me to heaven. I want to take as many as my family. I want to take as many as your friends. I want to take people I don't even know yet. I want to take as many people to heaven with me. How about you? Yeah? That's how we come together, and we focus on what God is calling us to do. Together, we advance the kingdom. It's not my ministry. It's our ministry. I've had people come to me, Pastor, I like your church. And I appreciate the compliment and I understand where they're coming from, but I'm usually quick to correct and say, it's not my church. First of all, first and foremost, it's God's church. And then second of all, it's our church, right? It's our church together. It's something that happens. God's wanting to do something in us. It's my ministry. No, it's not my ministry. It's our ministry. And even though I may have ministries, I'm flowing in and out outside of the church. It's God's ministry, and we're working together. I've had people tell me, man, you know, over the years, and I have people come, and man, they get called to the Lord. They say, man, God's called me, and I'm leaving the church so I can focus on my ministry. And I'm like, are you dumb? I'm being honest, okay? I'm like, are you? That's one of the most unwise things I've ever heard. Because God has never called us to do ministry alone. I don't have to leave the church to focus on my ministry. Now, sometimes God will graduate me and place me somewhere else because he's using me, and that's all right. But I don't leave the church to focus on my ministry. No, it's not my ministry, number one. It's God's ministry, and we should all flow under the umbrella of the protection of a local leadership and pastor and working together, because when you fall, you need somebody to pick you up. And when you need help, there's somebody in your corner saying, you can do it. I believe in you. Let's work together. And when you have a resource you need met, we come together and say, hey, I can help there. Me also. And we come together and we help each other. That's a biblical view of how we look at ministry. It's not, I do it on my own. It's us together. You know, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last weekend. How many were excited about that? I saw you guys, man. You guys were praying, God, anything you want. So you guys better really get into church this year, okay? You guys were making some big promises last Sunday. I'm telling you, people, 50 years, God, we were waiting 50 years. I seen grown men crying. Revival breaking out in this section back here. I saw them. Thank you, Lord. 50 years, God. Jesus. Corey quit crying this morning. Thank you, Jesus. He was loving the Lord this morning. You know, I was thinking about it, you know, and when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, their quarterback, what's his name again? What's that guy's name? I forgot. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, anyway, he's going to get a Super Bowl ring, right? All the starters are going to get a ring. And do you realize that all the backup players who've never seen the field, they're going to get a ring? Do you realize all the practice squad players are going to get a ring? The guys, all they do is help practice during the week. They don't even dress out for the game. Do you realize all the guys who fill up the water bottles and have all the equipment set out, they're going to get a ring? All the scouts, all they do is watch tape and go around looking at college talent and then telling the coaches and management, here's a list of the players we think you could draft. All those guys are going to get a ring. Do you realize all the people painting the field and painting the arrowhead down there and painting the lines, they're going to get a ring? Do you realize old Doris answering the phone, thank you for calling the Kansas City Chiefs headquarters, I'm going to direct your call, she's going to get a ring. She'll probably wear it around some necklace right here for the rest of her life. Why? Because when a championship happens, it takes everybody working together in unity for it to happen. So everybody gets a reward. Everybody gets in on it. Everybody gets a ring. See, God wants to strengthen our individual faith so that our corporate faith, look at this, so our corporate faith will be strengthened. God wants to build your faith because he wants all of our faith to be strengthened. Think about that. God's trying to build your faith up because he wants to build the faith up throughout the whole church. Can you imagine if I had 10 people in the church who begin to get on fire for God and faith begins to grow in their life and they come in, man, expecting that, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for us to worship together. God's going to show up. God's going to be here. People are going to be saved. People are going to give their hearts to God. People can be healed. Marriage can be restored. I mean, God's presence, it's going to be a flow. We're going to grow. And man, can you imagine if I had 10 people each service showing up with a renewed in their heart thinking, man, God's going to show up. Can you imagine what would happen in the atmosphere? Can you imagine if we had 100 people doing that? If I had 100 people saying, man, God, you're renewing my faith. God, I'm growing in my faith. If I had 100 people, man, we'd all be. Can you imagine if I had 500 people doing that? Wow. Can you imagine what we could do in the city? Can you imagine what we can do in this community when we come together in unity and God begins to do something in our corporate faith? It starts individually. God is trying to do something in you and in me as an individual because he's trying to grow us together corporately. He's trying to take us to a new level of faith. He's trying to bring us to a new level of unity. And so you got to realize the enemy, listen, the enemy, he's not attacking you because he fears you alone, but he fears what we can do together. So the enemy may not be able to get to me, but if he can get to Tim, he's affecting me. And if Tim's being affected, and then it affects Corey, and if Corey's being affected, then it affects Danielle, and it affects somebody else, and it affects all of us. And so we realize that the enemy understands the power of us working together. The enemy understands the power when we come together in the name of the Lord and we say, God, I believe anything is possible. God will face any giant we face. God will possess any land you tell us to possess. God will go forward and do anything together. The enemy's shaken because he knows that there is power in the unity of God's people. There is where it's at. See, but the difference between those who obtain the promise and those who don't can be found in how you handle the opposition. 10 spies are like, they're giants there. Man, it's a lot of promise there. Yeah. It'd be a great place to live. It'd be one of the best places we've ever imagined. I know, God wants to give it to us. But can you, what are we going to do? There's giants there. What else are we going to do? Or you can have a spirit of Joshua and Caleb and say, God, you brought us out away from Pharaoh's hand. God, you delivered us from Pharaoh. You delivered us from Pharaoh's army when the Red Sea parted and the waters came back upon the armies chasing us. God, you brought manna down when we were starving. God, you opened the rock up and poured water out in the middle of the desert. God, if you be for us, who can be against us? God, with you, all things are possible. And I believe if God's got it for us, we can take it and we can do it and we can see it. See, it's all on how you approach. Are you going to always have the Barney Five syndrome where you're always shaking around? You know, where's my bullet? I can't find my one bullet. No, God, you've got this. God, we're going to follow you. God, we're going to unify together and believe you. It's the difference of what God wants to do. You know, you ever thought about this, that Moses, God made Moses go back and face his biggest fear. Remember, Moses left being raised as a prince of Egypt. He left when he observed one of the king's soldiers was abusing one of the people there and the slaves. And Moses was so upset. He killed him when he was abusing them and buried him in the sand. And then when it came to find out, he had to flee. And he left because he knew that Pharaoh would kill him. And so he ran and he hid in the desert for 40 years. It's out there hiding, and one day God shows up in the burning bush, calls out to him, Moses, I got a great plan. You're going to go. You're going to be my voice. You're going to be my hands and feet. Oh, by the way, go back and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. See what? You know I've been hiding 40 years from this guy. But God didn't ask him to go back just once, Corey. He made him go back time and time and time again. He made him go back and face his biggest fears. And God was trying to do something in Moses' life by making him repeatedly go back and face his biggest fears. And at some point, Moses was like, it's all right. God, you've got this. If God be for me, who can be against me? And it built his faith up. See, many times God will make us face our biggest fears because he's trying to grow our faith. And he's not just trying to grow your faith and my faith. He's trying to grow the faith of the whole body here at Destiny Church. And so if your faith grows and your faith grows and your faith grows and the next service and the early service, their faith is growing. All of a sudden, we are increasing in faith. We're ready to take on the next giant that God's got for us and say, God, with you, it is possible. Have you ever noticed that the negative report spread like fire? And so they came back and spread and just like that, boom. From being excited about going to the promised land, now everybody was in fear. We can't do it. We can't do it. No. I mean, it spread like fire throughout camp. I mean, you ever notice that? Like, go post a scripture on Facebook or Instagram today, and you might get 10, 12 likes, right? Unless you're Danielle, then maybe you get 20. Okay, Danielle, we'll give you the Miss Social Media. Okay, but post something negative about somebody or something negative about politics or anything, and all of a sudden, everybody's chiming in, right? And all of a sudden, you got 150 likes, and everybody's 50 comments down talking about it. Why? Because negative spreads really fast. It's easy. People want to hop on with the negative. So we got to work above and beyond to make sure we're people who are spreading the good things of God and we're building faith and we're just not walking around piling on to the negative junk that's being put out day after day after day. Somebody's got to rise above that. Somebody's got to rise above that and say, no, I'm believing God for more in my city. I'm believing God for more in my family. I'm believing God for more in this nation. I'm believing God for more. You got to believe and see that God is calling us to rise above that and work together. Let's be a Caleb and Joshua, that we are more than able with God's help. With God who's for us, who can be against us? See, when you fight for God's agenda, God will fight for yours. And it's simply this, when you put God's agenda first, God, it's kingdom mentality first. And then I've seen it happen time and time again. The things that I put God first in, then later on, It always comes back full circle, and God's taking care of the things, the smaller things in my life that I was worried about. It just happens. When I worry about the things and take care of the things that God places first, then He'll take care of the things that I was worried about. See, I believe it's something that happens when we have a kingdom first mentality. It's a unity mentality. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to fight for God's agenda. I want to fight for God's agenda. Look at Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. How good and pleasant it is for God's people to dwell together in unity. Let's say it together. To dwell together in unity. Man, Scripture said it's good. It's pleasant. Let me tell you, you can walk in some places and there's not a spirit of unity and you can sense it right away, can't you? But other times you walk in, you just like, man, there's such a good and pleasant spirit there. What is it? It's a spirit of unity. It's God's people walking together in unity. And then look what happens when that happens. He goes, when they walk together in unity, it's like precious oil upon the head. Now, remember in the Bible that oil represents the anointing and the Holy Spirit, okay? And so they would anoint Aaron. It said, running down on his beard, and the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment. Before Aaron ever went into the holies of holies as the high priest, they would pour oil all over his head to the point it would drip down through his beard, on his clothes, and even run off the end of his garments. And then he would be able to walk into the holies of holies, which was the presence of God. And so now we realize this, that, listen to me today, when you operate in a spirit of unity, when we operate in a spirit of unity, the Holy Spirit is there. The anointing is there. God is there. People are saved there. People are healed there. People are redeemed there. Marriages come back together there. I'm telling you, things happen when there's a spirit of unity. The oil of the Holy Spirit is released in the new level. God wants it to drip off of us. That we walk out and we're like, man, wasn't that thick today? Man, I'm refueled for this week. I've got the presence of the Lord all over me. I got the renewal in my heart. I got the Holy Spirit flowing out of me. I want to touch somebody with this oil. I want to heal somebody with this oil. I want to do something for God. And it happens when there's a spirit of unity that begins to increase. It's important. Then he says this. He goes, for there, what's he talking about? Unity, right? So when he says, for there, we're talking about the spirit of unity. There the Lord commandeth blessing. Wow. So when we operate in a spirit of unity, the Lord commands blessing. God, help us to operate in a spirit of unity. God, let Destiny Church be a place where we operate in the spirit of unity, when you can look out in the heavenlies and command blessing upon our church, command blessing on our community, command blessing on churches throughout the community, because we're walking in the spirit of unity, what you've called us to do. God, may this be our prayer. May this be our heart, God. Lord, I want to be a place where you command the blessing to be. Lord, I want to be a place where it's kingdom first. I want to reach the people you want to reach. God, I want to show love. Lord, I want to teach people to fall in love with you and to love each other. Not based off of how we vote, not based off of our color of our skin, but based off of our Father. We love people in the spirit of unity. He says there he commands the blessing. When we unify, there is nothing impossible for God to do. Last week, I asked you to prepare. Now, we've been doing this for the last four Sundays, 3 weeks, but prior than last week was the fourth Sunday when I asked you to pray about giving one day's wages to Convoy of Hope and one day to feed the children. And we saw the videos of the kids' lives we'd be helping reach and testimonies of how these meals are making a difference in their lives. That for many of these children, it's the only meal they get all day is what's being provided by them. And then they're going and they're receiving the gospel because of it. They're coming to a local church and getting fed, and then they're getting educated, and they're actually passing their classes now and learning because they're not hungry, and they can retain, and they're also opening up to the gospel message. Can you imagine hearing a gospel message of how God loves you when you're starving? I mean, we're feeding their stomachs and giving them something, and then they're opening up. Yeah, someone loved you enough to pay for your meals so that you wouldn't be hungry today. Can you imagine the impact it's having on their lives? And I asked you to give an offering. And now, I know that on our own, it seems like it doesn't make a big difference, does it? Man, Pastor, if I just give up one day's wages, it seems like just a drop in a bucket to world hunger. Just seems like it would just be such a small amount. But see, there's something about when I do what I can. And this section does what they can. This section does what they can. And this section does what they can. This section and this section. We all do just what we can. And then the early service, they do the same thing. And we come together and we just give one day's wages. And I had no idea what to expect. I just prayed. I knew it's what God wanted us to do. And I want to give you the total that came in last week. Let's see the total that came in. $18,670. Come on, somebody needs to give God praise for that. Somebody needs to give God praise for that. I'm telling you, God works miracles when we come together. God can do miracles when we come together. God can work miracles when people come together. This is something to be excited about. Do you realize through your gift, we're going to see over 50,000 meals shared through this local body when we came together in unity? Everybody just doing their part. They're going to be able to take that. They're going to provide over 50,000 meals. They told me, they said, Gene, we'll be able to sponsor 150 kids will get meals every day just from this church. 150 kids will get meals every day from this church. It's the power of multiplication. It's the power of me saying, Jesus, here's my lunch. I got lunch. You got lunch. You got lunch. Here's my lunch, Jesus. Then it multiplies. He said, because of what you guys gave, and I can tell you that number's gone up even from the first service. I think we're really about three. I think we're close to 19,000 already. Okay, the numbers are already going up. We're over 19,000. We're over 19,000 already. All right, yeah. Number keeps raising throughout service, so I'm having a hard time keeping up with this number. So we're over 19,000. They said because of this gift, they said we'll have other sponsors who will jump on board and match your giving. We have corporations who will give us food at major wholesale discounted prices. They said we're pleased to tell you that Home Depot has just come on board with us. And Home Depot has agreed to ship all the food around the world at no cost. They said, if Destiny Church, if you took that $19,000 and you went out and tried to buy your own food, package it up, and ship it to where we're going to take it, he goes, the retail value of what we're going to get out of this is over $92,000. But because that's what happens when we give our part and somebody else gives their part and they do their part, and together we come together and God multiplies it. But the most important thing is that 150 kids are going to get a meal every day who wouldn't have it otherwise. And many of them are going to receive Jesus Christ because of that meal. And many of them are going to receive an education, and they're going to give back to their community because they're getting something and growing. It's the power when we come together. I don't know. See, it adds up. I'll give my tithe and my offering. It doesn't seem like a lot, but when we all give it together, it adds up. We can do more for the kingdom. We can do more outreaches. We can give more the missionaries. We can give more the church plants. We can give more the community charities. We can do more. We can bring on other staff members and continue to work and grow and build. It adds up. What you give adds up. And we work, it adds up. And it's more than just money. It's my time when I serve. And I just give a little bit here. I don't have a lot, but when I can, I will. And it adds up. It adds up. God multiplies it. It's all found through a spirit of unity. I believe that God is doing something in Destiny Church. I believe that He's causing us to rise up to a new spirit of unity. That God is doing something. He used this as an example to show us that when we come together in unity, what a worldwide difference we can make. And I'm telling you, it's just the beginning of where God's wanting us to go. It's just the beginning where God's wanting to take us. And my prayer for you today is you say, yes, I want to be a part of that. Yes, I want to unite with what God's doing. I want to walk in a powerful spirit of unity of destiny. If that's you, say, Pastor, that's me. I want to raise my hand right now and say, I'm ready to walk in that spirit of unity. I'm ready to do anything I can. I'm ready to do anything that's kingdom first. Anybody here want to join me? Yeah. Maybe you're here today. You say, first of all, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. See, that's where it all starts, right there. It's a spirit of unity with the Father. I become one with Him first. This is how I become one with the body of Christ. First of all, I accept that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I accept that I'm a sinner, and there's no other way except through the forgiveness of the cross of what Jesus did there. The Bible says I must believe it and then confess it with my mouth. So while you're standing, just bow your heads where you're at. I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes out of reverence this morning. And if you're here, I promise you I won't do anything to embarrass you. But if you say, Pastor, today I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today I'm ready to unify with Jesus and identify with the cross, and I'm ready to surrender my life fully to Jesus Christ. If that's you, with nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say it's me? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Raise it high. Yeah, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Yeah, if you haven't raised it right now. I want to make sure I don't miss you. Yeah, I see those hands. Thank you, guys. Let's say this prayer together. If you raised your hand, I want you to say it with me out loud. And as Christians around you, we'll say it with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner and I need you. I believe that you are the Messiah, God's only Son, that you died on the cross for my sins. And I surrender all of my life to you. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's the first step, but we say welcome to the family of God. Now listen, it's just the beginning, okay? If you prayed that prayer, it's so much more than, He wants to teach you how to live like Jesus, how to grow in a kingdom mindset. And you can't do that just by one prayer and one Sunday. You gotta get in, plug in, come here, be discipled, come learn about the Lord. Get connected to people who can pick you up, who can encourage you. We all need it, okay? So make sure you plug in. Today, I want us to close with this course one more time. As we do, I want you to thank the Lord for what He's doing in our midst. Thank the Lord for the offering that was given for the children. And thank the Lord that He's unifying us as we worship Him together. Guys, let me tell you, I am so humbled and proud of you. I'm humbled to lead you, and I'm so proud to lead you. As I shared with Springfield and Convoy of Hope, what came in, they were just blown away that a church our size would respond that way. He's already asked me, because I got to have you come down and talk to some other pastors for me. Because whatever you did, your people bought in. Because whatever it was, and I just simply said, there's a spirit of unity right now in our church that's flowing. I can't explain it. I'm just telling you, there's a spirit of unity that's flowing through our church right now. We're responding together. I had somebody after the first service came to me and with tears in his eyes, and he said, Pastor, because I need to confess something to you. He goes, I haven't been releasing my finances. He goes, I haven't paid my tithe and my offering. He goes, I feel so convicted today when I seen how it all came together. He goes, and God really showed me that I'm not doing my part. He goes, so forgive me. And I want to tell you from now on, I'm going to start trusting the Lord. I'm going to start releasing my finances to the Lord. See, that's what I'm praying. God, we release our time, our talent, our treasure. It doesn't have to be a lot, but when we just give our part, it all adds up to make a kingdom impact. And I can tell you, I'm so proud of you. And what I'm so humbled of what we've been able to do for the kingdom. And I want to pray with you today. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for every person in the room, Lord. I thank you for those who sacrificially gave, or many gave more than even their one day's wage. I know they did. And God, I just thank you for a heart of givers. I thank you for people with a spirit of unity, that God, we can make a difference in a lot of children's lives. And God, I bet most of all, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the heart of the people of Destiny Church. That God, you are rising us up to a new level of unity. And God, I pray that, Father, we say yes to that. We don't run from that. God, we wanna go after God's big dreams that you've given us. And God, we thank you. And God, we release to you now, and we say, may a spirit of unity increase in my life. We say, yes, God, may a spirit of unity increase in Destiny Church. In Jesus' name we say. In Jesus' name we say. All right, come on, give God a hand, clap and praise. God bless you. We love you. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, God is good.